Hi, everyone, and welcome to All About Skin. This podcast is brought to you by the Orange Trek Medical Group in New York City. I am Jody Legerfo, family nurse practitioner certified in dermatology and family medicine. Today, we will be answering questions about rosacea, so let's get started. Rosacea is a really hot topic in dermatology, and the biggest question is, what is it? So rosacea basically is a persistent redness with or without pimples and pustules, mostly on the cheeks and the nose. Sometimes it can affect the forehead and the chin and the area around the mouth. The eyes are usually spared, but there is an ocular rosacea that we will discuss later in the broadcast. So what age and who is affected by rosacea? And rosacea occurs in mostly light-skinned females between the ages of, I would say, probably 30 and 50. There is a severe type called phimatis that happens, though, exclusively or almost exclusively always in men. And that's an overgrowth of the oil glands. Phyma means swelling or mass or bulb. I want to mention there's, many other features of rosacea, including telangiectasia, which are spider veins. Patients get flushed. There's red papules or bumps and pustules, like little pimples that contain pus. The erythrotelangiectatic type, which is basically redness and blood vessels, is really characterized by a history of having prolonged flushing. And by prolonged, I mean more than 10 minutes, to various different stimuli, like stress, it could be emotional stress, hot drinks, alcohol, spicy foods, exercise, cold or hot weather, hot baths or showers. And with that flushing, you can get burning and stinging. The skin can also become rough and scaly and be easily irritated. Sometimes the skin can almost look purplish. There is a papulopustular type, and these patients often have a very red central face with red papules or bumps, and sometimes they can have some pus in the middle. Usually, these patients are also flushing, and their skin, I have to say, is usually characteristically really oily. The glandular type of rosacea occurs in men, and most of these men have thick, oily skin. They have bumps that are swollen, and they may have pustules. Usually, these patients have a history of acne as, teenagers or adolescents, and they may have some acne scarring. The flushing is less common in this type, but they can have persistent swelling. And in this subtype of rosacea, there's a condition called rhinophyma. Think about WC Fields, and this includes swollen, large bumps over the nose. And the nose can, the tip of the nose can often look like a bulb. These patients basically have a big swollen nose. That's the best way to explain it. So patients often say to me, why do I have rosacea? What's the cause? And the cause really is unknown. Most patients have an abnormal vascular response to heat or other types, like I said before, of stimuli, like they flush easily when they eat something hot or when they're nervous. Rosacea patients may also have lots of solar or sun damage. And it's been hypothesized that there's other pathogenic causes, something that's called a Demodex, Demodex, are tiny mites that can trigger an immune response in people with rosacea. And those mites live on the skin. Another type of bacteria is H. pylori, and that's the bacteria that's responsible for ulcers. And we know that H. pylori is associated with rosacea. Is there a definite cause? I'm not 100% sure, but we do know that patients that are positive for H. pylori may have rosacea-like skin. Rosacea can affect the eyes. Patients can get blepharitis, an inflammation of the eyelid, a recurrent sty in their eye, and the eye itself can be affected. Patients often complain that their eyes are feeling gritty, that they burn or they itch or they sting, and they can have light sensitivity. Sometimes we see the eye symptoms before we actually see the skin symptoms. The flushing of rosacea just really isn't confined to the face. It can occur on the ears, the chest, the neck, the scalp, and the same is true for the pustules and papules. It can really happen in all of those areas. I always tell rosacea patients, just as a side note, to wash their hair every day, because I do think there is a rosacea / seborrhea or dandruff component. So I definitely think it's worthwhile to wash your hair every day and a couple of times a week with a dandruff shampoo. Now, a common question is, can I put cortisone on rosacea? And the answer, or not so simple answer, is no, at least not on your own, because topical steroids have really been recognized as almost a cause of rosacea-like dermatitis, and it can at least cause a persistent type of redness, even papules or pustules, things like that. So if you've been using a topical steroid on your face, I really suggest you see a dermatologist, because there are medications we use both topically and orally in the process of weaning you off that steroid and to really make your skin less red, make that vascular response less. So what is the treatment of rosacea? And it's really directed towards this type of symptoms an individual has. Most important, of course, is sunscreen, and it is the best therapy for all rosacea patients. Sunscreen should be applied every morning without question. Physical blocks, physical types of sunblocks with zinc or titanium dioxide are generally better tolerated, I think, in patients with rosacea, especially in patients with redness or inflammation. Chemical sunscreens tend to be more irritating. Patients should avoid irritants or astringents, peeling agents, acetic types of skin treatments, abrasive scrubs that have walnuts in them or apricot, or any type of exfoliant. Dermabrasion in rosacea patients, as far as I'm concerned, is a no-no. Cosmetically covering the redness is key, and there's lots of good foundations and concealers to help. Clinique makes a whole line of products for covering up redness, and they're really effective and some of my favorites. Obviously, if the flushing is caused by a specific trigger, for example, hot or spicy foods, obviously avoiding that trigger as much as possible is the best thing to do. For eye symptoms, we usually recommend using artificial tears, cleaning your eye with ocular scrub or baby shampoo. Now, for skin rosacea, topically we use lots of products. So we use metronidazole, we use sodium sulfacetamide, sulfur cleaners, azelaic acid. All of these things are used for the treatment of rosacea. And often what I do is I combine them. These types of products really are especially useful for papular pustular patients, like patients with papules and pustules and pussy types of pimples. And they are also helpful in patients who just have that flushing or vascular type. Benzoyl peroxide and the antibiotic clindamycin, which is used topically, are used alone or in combination and are really beneficial for rosacea patients, and they are very well tolerated. The non-steroidal anti-inflammatories like permecrolimus and tacrolimus or Protopic really do help patients with redness, especially those who have rough skin or scaly skin. Both of these types of drugs help that erythrotelangiectasic type, so the type that has flushing and redness, and even sometimes the pustular type of rosacea. These drugs really do calm inflammation and abate the symptoms, and they're really, really nice steroid alternatives. So often a big question is, regarding anti-aging treatments in rosacea patients. So can a rosacea patient use a retinoid or vitamin C, Retin-A, Trentoin? So some rosacea patients can tolerate a few nights a week of Retin-A, but this really needs to be paired with a mild cleanser, mild moisturizer, things that are really mild to offset some of that irritation that the patient can get. So we do know that retinoids and these types of medications can help repair sun-damaged skin and help with aging, which is great, but they may not be the best for rosacea patients, so it's really trial and error. I do use oral medications for rosacea. Oral antibiotics like tetracycline, doxycycline, minocycline really help decrease the inflammation of rosacea and help with the papular and pustules and pimples that are associated with it. They're also helpful for the ocular symptoms or the rosacea of the eyes. There is a subclinical dose of doxycycline, which is a 40 milligram extended release form called Oracea. And I do also use that in practice for longer term. I usually discontinue oral antibiotics once the inflammation and the pimples are clear. Then I have a patient use maintenance, like topical medications that should be used long term. However, you need to remember that rosacea really is recurrent. So if you discontinue treatment, your symptoms will come back. For the ocular signs and symptoms, again, like for the eye symptoms, oral antibiotics really are effective and convenient for relieving those signs and symptoms. Isotretinoin, which was formerly Accutane, is a great drug and may be necessary for stubborn rosacea. The higher the dose based on your weight, the better a chance for a cure or for long-term suppression. It produces dramatic improvement in rosacea patients. But I do have to tell you, once it's stopped, the symptoms can come back. But again, we want to use maintenance with these patients and hopefully be able to maintain them with topical medications. There are newer types of medications. There is a topical form of the alpha-2 agonist called brimonidine, which was approved by the FDA in August, I believe, of 2013. And it's for the treatment of the redness associated with rosacea. Now, this drug was originally a glaucoma medication, and it really has shown to significantly improve redness in rosacea patients. There's also another alpha agonist called oxymetazoline, and again, this was originally used as a nasal spray. You've heard of Afrin, and this is approved, I believe, in 2017, this year only, and also for persistent facial redness, and it's used once a day. I've personally used this type of drug for some redness that I had on my face, and it really does decrease the redness. What I do worry about in patients is getting rebound redness. In other words, once the vascular response comes back, is that redness worse than it is before? So you really want to, you know, have a handle on it and report to your doctor if you find that does happen. There's another medication called ivermectin, which is called Soolantra, and that's an anti-parasitic type of drugs that's used for that mite that I mentioned before, Demodex, that lives on the skin. It's been approved by the FDA also for the treatment of inflammatory lesions that are associated with rosacea. Now, I often use lasers as a rosacea treatment. I do think that they're really helpful. They're non-ablative lasers. Mostly I use what's called vascular lasers, and they really are the mainstay of rosacea treatment. This is a pulse dye laser is what is pretty much my most favorite. And what it does is it absorbs some of that hemoglobin, and the blood vessels themselves get reduced with minimal damage to the surrounding tissue, minimal issues with scarring. They really, really are effective and helpful and can be a game changer in terms of rosacea. There's another type when you have traceable vessels. I use what's called an ND-YAG laser. It's a 1064. Also really, really helpful to get rid of those telangiectasia, those blood vessels that are associated with rosacea. Last, another treatment that I like is called IPL or intense pulse light. And that's a multichromatic laser with different targets. So it can target brown or melanin, and it can also target hemoglobin. And it's also used for facial rejuvenation, but it is helpful when someone has diffuse redness associated with rosacea. Again, can really help the look and the decrease some of that vascularity that patients have. Well, that's all we have time for today. Please email your questions to allaboutskin@orangetrike.com. Have a great day, and remember to take care of the skin you're in.